Well, good early Sunday morning, church. I have to confess something that was really unique, seeing Ashley sing that song, Give Us Clean Hands, because it's an older song. Ashley was in my youth group in Pine Prairie when I was youth pastor. We are not youth anymore. To hear her sing that this morning, that's a blessing, I tell you. She was in our praise team in Pine Prairie years and years ago. So this morning we continue our study in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to cover verses 33 through 42. Jesus gives us a Bible study on oaths and retaliation. Oaths and retaliation. Yeah, it may not sound as exciting as last week on divorce, or the week before that. You know, we had, I think, lust and adultery, and the week before that we had anger. So we've covered some very juicy topics here that Jesus gives to us. Well, today is pretty interesting. I'm going to tell you, because we really don't realize how saturated our society is with lying. We don't realize that. And we may not realize how much we stretch and exaggerate things ourselves. And Jesus gives us some insight on that. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 42. Let me tell you, preachers are bad about it too. Man, how many people did you have at church last Sunday? I don't know. We had, 800, 900. Preacher counting sometimes gets a little over carried away. It's vital that we're truthful and trustworthy people. Let's begin reading in verse 33. Again, you have heard. Very important there. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. That sounds real good. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But unless you have a good hairdresser. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Some translations, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Father God, this morning we read your word. Explain it to us. Break it down to us so that we can live pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So remember, Jesus always sets the high bar for us. And that's what he's doing in the Sermon on the Mount. We have to begin to understand and break this down to really get into what Jesus is saying here. Through these illustrations, these are not new rules that Jesus is giving to us, it's illustrations. The problem we have in our society, in our culture, is that lying and not telling the truth has become the norm. We really don't place a high premium on telling truth. Can you imagine for one day if everybody told the truth? Didn't exaggerate anything, didn't tell any half-truths or little white lies. didn't boast or anything, didn't embellish anything. There'd probably be a lot of marriage problems. I don't know if our country could survive. I don't know if our society could survive on everybody telling the truth for one day. Because ours is a culture, listen, that is ingrained with lies. So why do we even have vows? Why do we have oaths and promises? Because we are a society, really, that is trafficking deception. In the court of law, when we go to the witness stand, we must take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Why is that? Because the legal system recognizes that there's so much about our lives that we lie about. Man is just not reliable. And before every woman says, "You got that right, preacher," that man is a generic term for men and women, people. See, the very presence of oaths and promises and vows, listen, that's the key to that our existence is tainted with lies and exaggerations and deception. That's a key to us that Jesus even has to address the issue even back in his day. So what we would gather this morning from the text is that is how we should live as children of God. We're to be people of truth because we claim to carry the truth of the gospel. We claim to carry the truth of God's word. Listen, but if we are not truthful people, if we have a problem with lying and deceiving others, it's very hard for someone else to believe what we say about Jesus. How can we carry a message of truth if we're not truthful people? So if our behavior has led another person to believe that we are not reliable, then how are they going to believe what we say about Christ? So let's jump into this text. Verse 33. Here again in verse 33, Jesus states, "You have heard the ancients were told." What does that mean? Jesus is addressing these Jews, these his disciples, and all of those who are listening, not about the Mosaic law. He's addressing them about what they've heard their rabbis and their Pharisees and their scribes tell them about the Mosaic law. So he's addressing, "You have heard the ancients were told." And then he goes in to begin to tell them what they've heard. Verse 34 says, "But I say to you." So here he is, Jesus taking them, reminding them of what they have been taught about the Mosaic law. They have been taught incorrectly. And now he's saying, "I'm going to straighten it out for you. But I say to you." Why is Jesus speaking with such authority? Because he's the one who gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, incarnate Jesus. So the big picture of what Jesus is doing in these illustrations really is exposing the false security and the hypocrisy and self-righteousness and false teaching of Israel's leaders. They didn't want to go to God for grace. They wanted to dumb everything down. They knew what Mosaic law said, but let's make this in a way, let's make some laws that we can actually follow. Because we can't follow what he says in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not lie," "Thou shalt not bear false witness." We can't live up to that because that's a high standard. So let's dumb it down a little bit. We know what God says. We can't do that. So let's make these other laws. And that's what they were teaching the people to do. Just follow these other laws. But we have to remember, see, the law of God was really there to show us our deficiencies, to point us to Christ Jesus, who fulfilled the law perfectly. So what the rabbis and the Pharisees did was twist and diminish the perfect law of God to a set of moral ethics that somehow they could grasp onto their moral ethics and live that out and have this self-righteousness. Well, we didn't do this, but boy, we sure did these. That makes us righteous. They had this air of self-righteousness about them. But they ignored the actual intent of the law, was to show them their sin, was to show them that they couldn't live that way, and it pointed them to Christ Jesus, Messiah that was coming, who would fulfill the law for them by faith. No. Man, let's be honest. We couldn't keep the law of God if we tried. We couldn't. When you read those Ten Commandments, which one have you not broken? Today. Yeah, you see, when we're honest, it points right to our sin. So the Pharisees tried to rewrite the law so they could keep it and try to earn righteousness of their own. So let's get a little deeper into this passage in oaths. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Man, that sounds real good. Because we're to be people of truth. So this morning we're going to examine a few things. What the Mosaic Law said, what the Pharisees taught, and what Jesus teaches. Learn a few interesting things about the law and what the Pharisees were teaching. The first thing is, what does the Old Testament say? Verse 33 says about vows. Well, in the Greek, a vow is something that we do to strengthen our word. It's something that we connect to our word to make it more believable. It's to bind our word to a higher authority. So over in the Old Testament, listen, God made vows. Many of the patriarchs made vows. Matter of fact, most all of them did. Yet, they were only taken in significant matters and only in God's name. So God gave just simply two things when you make an oath. You make a vow. You make a promise. Two things. First of all, it was only for a significant matter. And the second of all, it had to be in God's name. Had to be a significant matter, and it had to be in God's name. Why? Because the people of God at that time did not take God's name lightly, as many do today, even Christians. And you were to follow through on those vows. So you didn't make many vows in your lifetime, and you were to follow through with them. In verse 34, Jesus comes against the Jews' practice of all these frivolous oaths and vows about everyday matters that were not significant at all. So you must understand that at first God did allow oaths to be taken by men because he understands our fallen and bent nature toward deceiving one another. Man, God understands us perfectly. He knew that we would try to cheat each other and deceive each other. So he allowed oaths and vows and promises to be made. But he gives a very, very narrow reason of why they should be made. Think about it today. How many peace treaties have been broken? Most all of them. Matter of fact, if you turn on your news every day, you see where Russia has attacked Ukraine. Ukraine gained its independence from Russia in 1991. In 1994, it turned over its nuclear weapons back to Russia, 1,600 of those nuclear weapons, with the guarantee, with the promise, with the treaty a peace treaty saying that Russia would never attack Ukraine. 2022, Russia attacked Ukraine. Men have a problem keeping their word. So men and women have this difficult time keeping their word. So God in his mercy let us call on his name in an oath and only on special occasion. So a good biblical working definition of an oath is attaching the name of God to a significant promise. Attaching the name of God to a significant promise to strengthen your commitment for the benefit of another. You both invite and accept God's judgment in the event of non-performance. So it was okay to make an oath in God's name over a significant matter, because God's name meant that you were willing to take God's judgment and you would accept God's judgment on you if you didn't follow through with your word. Can you see how narrow those oaths are? So with an oath, you realize that God is in the room. He's in the room with you, and you invite his judgment on you if you didn't live up to what you promised. An oath, a promise, and a vow are basically all the same things in original language. So oaths are allowed in Scripture, but only for significant matters and only in God's name. That's it. So what is it exactly that the Pharisees were teaching? If it's that simple, how can you mess that up? Well, we can. So verse 33 says, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Now listen, on the surface, that sounds great. That sounds, well, that's what we should do. But we need to understand something. False teaching often sounds so good that we believe it. How do you think some of these televangelists and prosperity gospel guys are filling their churches up with 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people that they can have big arenas and fill them up? And everybody thinks they're the greatest and their books are bestsellers on the... Because they take a little here and a little there and here and there and they twist and it sounds so good. And when we're ignorant of God's word, we don't get it. So what the rabbis and the Pharisees were teaching is not actually found in Scripture. So they weren't teaching the Mosaic law. So that, first of all, indicates that the Jews were not addressing the Mosaic law. That Jesus was not addressing the Mosaic law. He was just addressing what the Pharisees were teaching the people. So what do people do when they're propagating false teachings and, you know, of Scripture? Is that they make it sound so close to the real thing that it sounds so true. False teachers specialize in what we call Christianese. Christianese. It's got just enough Christian in there, sprinkle of Christian, that it sounds right, but it's not. Put the language in the jargon of what Christians speak, and oh man, we've got them. So the rabbis actually borrowed from three passages of Scripture and combined all these together. And they made up this teaching about oaths. They use Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. So they took that first part, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Then they take Leviticus 19:32. You shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of the Lord. I am the name of God. I am the Lord. Then Deuteronomy 23:21. says, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be a sin in you, and the Lord your God was surely required of you. So they take three little snippets of three different passages. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Half of that verse. You shall not swear falsely. That verse. Make a vow to the Lord. That verse. And they begin to teach this. There's a couple of errors that they left out. What did God's word, what did God allow? Vows to be made for significant purposes and only in His name. There were two errors in their teaching. They never tell the Jews that they should swear an oath only on significant matters. They never say, hey, just keep it for a significant matter. That's the only time. So a man or a woman in their life should only have a few vows or a few oaths that they take. No, they didn't tell them that. So this led to the problem of the Jews making oaths and vows on insignificant matters. The Jews started to swear by all sorts of things and for no good reason at all. You know, we've done it too. Cross my heart, hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye if I'm lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. So Jesus is teaching that we are to live in such a way that we are people who do not feel the need to swear oaths and promises everywhere on everyday matters. We're to be trustworthy people. That's what it is. We're just to be trustworthy people. The second thing the Pharisees were teaching was that they were not swearing by the name of God. They were just swearing by everything else. And Jesus addresses that in the illustrations that He gives. No, they were swearing by heaven and by earth and Jerusalem. They were swearing on their heads, probably swearing on their mama grave. All kind of stuff. Whatever they thought was a little more important than them. And actually, Matthew, I think 23 gives us a little more insight. You know, they were swearing on the temple. That didn't matter. But if you swore on the gold in the temple, that mattered. If you swore on the altar in the temple, that was nothing. But if you swore on the sacrifice on the altar in the temple, that was something. If you swore to Jerusalem, that didn't matter. But if you swore facing Jerusalem, that mattered. See how crazy it can get? And that's what they were doing. But doesn't that sound like many today in our society? We just use different things. So Jesus is teaching that we are to live in such a way that people do not feel the need to swear oaths. No. Verse 34, Jesus straightens all of this out. Verse 34 says, but I say to you, make no oath at all. Either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's the footstool of His feet, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great King. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, and or no, no. Anything beyond this is just evil. Listen, making all these oaths in life, well, I promise. Pinky swear. See, what the Jews had figured out is this. Is if they swore by anything other than God, then if they broke their promise, there would not be this heavy penalty from God. They wanted to be, listen, they wanted to be able to break their word without the fear of God punishing them. That's all. So pinky swears and I swear against Jerusalem, the holy city. Man, they just wanted to lie and deceive, but give the appearance of being trustworthy people. And Jesus is telling them, listen, you can't avoid God by swearing to his creation or to his creature. God created them all. So you can't avoid God. Jesus is reminding them of Psalm 24, verse 1. He says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all who live in it. So all the things that they were swearing by, Jesus is reminding them, God created the heavens, God created the earth, God created you. God created the hairs on your head and numbered them. The holy city is for the great King, King Jesus. He's reminding them that everything around you, all existence, all creation is from God. Scribes and Pharisees had corrupted a perfectly good system of Mosaic law that really helped curb lying. So the Pharisees had perverted the law of God in such a dysfunctional way that they were actually legalizing lying in their culture. So let's get what Jesus means in verse 34. He said, but I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven or by earth or by your head. Listen, Jesus is not saying that we should not make oaths because Jesus made oaths. He's saying that we are not to make frivolous vows and oaths and promises. For these vows and oaths and promises were for select occasions of significance. Last night, I did a wedding in Alexandria. The couple said vows. Why? Because marriage is a significant thing in a person's life. When you go to court and you're there with Judge Gary and you're a witness and they give you the oath, you swear to tell truth, whole truth, nothing but truth. Why? Because the courts realize that we have a capacity to lie very easily, but that's a significant matter to take that oath. If you're a politician and you're running for office and you win that office, you're sworn into office. Why? Because that's a significant matter. We need leaders that we can trust to uphold the Constitution, uphold the laws, whatever office you're being sworn into. So oaths are important and special. And they're not to be taken lightly. But the Jews were taking them lightly. Listen, today we often take it lightly. Listen, if we read that literally, and some churches do, we would never have a Christian doctor or a Christian attorney. We would never have a Christian who would get married because you have to take vows. We would never have a Christian in government offices. And there are some churches who teach we should never swear, never take an oath. That's not what Jesus is saying here. They're permissible, but vary for significant purposes and in the name of God. We're to be honest people. Jesus says in verse 37, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. Your translation may say, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And we're to be honest and truthful, trustworthy people. So in everyday life, we would not need to make promises or oaths about matters that are not weighty or significant. Man, how many times have you have your kids ask you, you know, do you promise to do that, Dad? Why? Because there are some times that we've promised or said something that we didn't follow through on it. That's why. So we just make promises, frivolous promises. Are you going to pick me up after school today? You promise? And we'll make a promise. Jesus said, listen, don't do that. Be such a trustworthy person that your yes is yes and your no is no. I told you, kid, I'll be there at 3 o'clock. Man, to be a trustworthy person, that our word matters. So our language and our conduct ought to be consistent at church, consistent at home. It's consistent in our business life or our job and our relationships. Why? Because people build trust when they see consistency of our faith flowing into our everyday lives. Man, when they see consistency, it's easy to build trust. Wives, how do you trust your husband? Consistency. Husbands, how do you trust your wives? Consistency. How is trust reestablished in a relationship? Consistency. Of good behavior. So if you're an honest person and your words are sure and bonding, man, people will trust you. Others will trust you. And it has a positive effect on other people. Then what you say of Jesus is now believable. So Jesus is bringing them all around. You've been taught bad stuff. And we have too. Listen, just say yes, yes, no, no. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Build an element of trust that other people believe. Why? Because now when you tell them about Jesus, you're a believable person. So what you hold true and what you're telling me about Christ must be believable also. So the messenger must really live out the message. So if you were unreliable about things in this world, listen, others have a difficult time believing what we say. Exaggerations, white lies, half-truths, soft commitments. Listen, they affect our ability to be seen as an honest person. Very quickly, if you give me a couple of minutes. The second thing we see here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 38, so Jesus not only addresses oaths, he addresses retaliation. Verse 38 says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to the other cheek to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you, let him take your shirt, but also let him take your coat. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you. Do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Listen, this is not new rules Jesus is giving. Again, it's not new rules. It's simply just illustrations he's giving to us about not taking retaliation. Jesus is warning us not to be vengeful people. That we should be mature in our faith enough not to be vengeful. It's really what it looks like to be a mature Christian, to have a mature Christian heart. This passage is really telling us to die to ourselves. Verse 38 says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that is actually found in the Mosaic Law. What we misunderstand is that this is given to the court system, not the individual. This is not given to you and to me as individuals. It's given to our court system. And all Jesus is trying to tell them and help them understand is let the crime and the punishment be fair. Let those who have been offended be treated fairly, but let the offender be treated fairly also. So if he stole your chicken, do not give him 25 years in prison. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Just let it be fair. Apples for apples and oranges for oranges. Let it be fair in giving out punishment. Because we have to handle our relationships differently than our justice system. In our justice system, we want justice. You do not want someone to walk in the courtroom who's killed your mother and the judge look at them and say, man, you know, this is your first offense. We're going to show some mercy on you. Go ahead out. Well, that's not fair to the one whose parent was killed. You see what I mean? In our relationships, we're to be people of mercy and grace. But in the court system, you want justice. Justice has to be rendered. So the point of this law really is this, is to take retaliation out of people's hands. It was to keep people from taking the law into their own hands and doing whatever they wanted. It was at this point the Pharisees messed things up. They took the law out of the court system and put it into their own personal lives. So now they became people of retaliation. And it opened the door for all sorts of vendettas and retaliation. So in the courts, we want fair and impartial justice. In our personal relationships, we want grace and mercy. They do not work the same. So Jesus gives us this principle in four illustrations. What's the principle? Verse 39 says, do not resist an evil person, but we have to understand what he's meaning there. Listen, this is not talking about letting someone walk all over you. And it's not talking about not defending yourself or defending your family, defending your home. It's not talking about that. No. What it's talking about is this, from the Greek, how does that function for us? It says, don't descend to the offender's evils. It says, don't resist an evil person. Yeah, we're taught to push back against evil in this world. What it's saying, listen, don't stoop down to the evil person's actions and behaviors. They're treating you this way? Well, man, don't treat them right back the same way. Don't do that. If they're gossiping about you, well, don't go around gossiping about them. No. You don't treat others. Take the high road. You've heard that before. We are to be believers. We're Christians. We're to take the high road. That's where Jesus said, do not resist an evil person. In other words, don't come eye to eye with them. They're down here hitting at you. Don't stoop down to hit on them the same way. Take the high road. And this is not rules. This is just illustrations. How we should pattern our everyday lives. Not to stoop on their level. Rather remain steadfast in our peace, in our attitude, in our action. Why? Because other people take notice how we act and react. Man, we want to send a testimony for Christ out there. People are watching. Four illustrations very quickly. Jesus says, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek also to him. Listen, this is not telling you not to defend yourself or protect yourself and just be a doormat for someone. If you think about slapping someone on the right cheek, you have to slap them with the back of your hand because he was referencing most people were right-handed. That in the Jewish culture, that was a huge insult to slap somebody across the face with the back of the hand. It's belittling them. And Jesus is saying, listen, he's using hyperbole here. He's using something very telling to us here. He's telling us not to be vengeful. Just turn the other cheek. Walk away. He's not saying, hey, go to a scrap with them. If you saw what Chris Rock did, kept showing it on the videos, and he just got slapped by Will Smith, and he just went about his job. You know, I'm not saying that's a perfect example of it, but it's there. Man, Jesus is saying, we're not to be people who trade insults for insults. We're going to get people's attentions when we take the high road and act differently. Why? Because it's rare to live that way. Christ is telling us to be different. The second thing we see in the illustration Jesus uses, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat also. See, in Israel during this time, people only had one or two changes of clothing. So they wore an undergarment, an inner garment, which is like a t-shirt, and they wore an outer garment. They called it a cloak or a coat. So under Jewish law, if a person sued you, And sometimes you do lose in court. And they won. All they could take from you is your undershirt, not your outer. Because if they took all your clothes, first of all, you're naked. You only have one other set of clothes. So it was some fairness there. They could take your undershirt. But Jesus is saying here, listen, sometimes you need to forego your rights because there's something bigger there that's going on. So your Christian testimony is more important than your possessions, is what he's saying. Whoever, you know, he's saying, listen, if you lose, not only take your undershirt off, go ahead and take your coat off and give it to him also. That sends a bigger message of your testimony for Christ than pouting over a possession. The third thing he says, and I'm hurrying, whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Under Jewish law, the Roman soldiers, the Roman government was occupying over Israel. So they had a law that the Roman soldiers could get the Jewish people to work for them. Remember what they did for Christ? Carrying his cross. They forced someone else to do it. Simon of Cyrene. Well, he said, listen, basically if a Roman soldier tells you to carry his sword or carry his pack, he can do it up to 1 mile. That's what the law says. You had to carry it for 1 mile. Forcefully. But at the end of 1 mile, when that Roman soldier tells you to put the pack down, he said, no. Tell him, hey, I'll carry that second mile for you. Why? Because it's going to shock that Roman soldier that your character and your actions were quite different than everybody else's. Simply an illustration. That's what we call dying to self to win souls to Christ. The fourth thing, and we're closing. In verse 42 says, give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Listen, Jesus is saying we need to be merciful to people who are genuinely in need. He's not saying about the person out there who's a professional beggar with a cardboard sign at the end of the road who looks at you like, or comes by the church with their story so made up that you can hardly tell if they're lying or not because they've done it for so long. He's telling about that brother or sister who you know, man, their house burned, they lost their job, they got sick, things just went bad for them. And you've got some possessions, and that person is in need. He said, listen, be a blessing to them. Value that person more than your possessions. I love what Brother Kirk always says, it's just money, we'll make more. Why? Because when you have a heart like that, you realize that it's just possession in your hand for right now that God has given you. Why? To be generous to those who really are in need, genuinely in need. And see, all Jesus is doing right here is inviting us to die to ourselves. And think about it. How often we think too highly of ourselves and not high enough of Christ. When we think highly of ourselves, we're belittling Jesus. And all Christ is doing is saying, man, we want to get it right. We need to learn to die to ourselves. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you so much that your word speaks to us. And God, that your word is broken out to us and helps us grasp even these illustrations that we have to dig in a little bit to understand better. They speak to us today, God, because we struggle oftentimes with the same things. Go with us now into this week. And Lord, help us to grow more into your character as believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.